Good evening, dear saints. Trusting you've had a lovely day and your week is coming just fine. It's another time of the word, day three, and hoping you've learned something over the last few days. Like I would say, usually say, we set that day one, day two, avoid all forms of distractions and ensure that you have the heart and posture and ready to receive God's word. We're just going to press the play button again today. Like we did yesterday, and I'm trusting that God's word instructs our heart. All right, let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I would declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, let's continue from where we stopped yesterday. We stopped in Romans chapter 12. Can you see we are actually just pausing and playing? Romans 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 12. You see, I'll say to you, if you have someone who, you know, you think might benefit from the things we are teaching, we're sharing, feel free to share the link with someone. Feel free to share the entire series where we're done with anyone who you think might be better, who you think this teaching might be better for their work or better for their, what do you call it, for their ministry as well. Yeah, just to help communicate the concept of navigating your Bible as well as the concept of love work. Now, Romans chapter 12, okay? Romans chapter 12, and I hope you've taken our time to listen to yesterday's teaching again. Romans 12, I've done mine like I would usually say. Look at verse 10 again, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Quick background. Navigating your Bible involves that Bible interpretation is very important, or involves that Bible interpretation is taken seriously. So when the believer is given to Bible interpretation, by default, the believer is expected, right, to ensure that they are careful in how they get to their conclusions. You get the point, right? So we looked at some rules, figures of speech. We looked at a few examples that we've done in previous series and we highlighted in day one as well, led us into what we're talking about, right? And now we are trying to say a few things. We looked at a few scriptures yesterday. I'm sure some scriptures yesterday would have sort of, you know, stood out to you. For instance, Psalm 68, we went to Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. And we said, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. When you see what happened on the resurrection, that is God arising through Christ Jesus in the resurrection, you see that what happened was not people being destroyed, right? But doubt, unbelief in the real sense, as it were, dematerialized, right? Dissolved, right? Tackled. You get the point? Yeah. So let God arise, let his enemies be scattered is not a song of, let me say that differently. It's a song of warfare. But the warfare of man is not the warfare of God. Altogether, right? For the righteousness of God does not walk in their righteousness, or does not walk alongside with the unrighteousness of man. Altogether, right? So you, like I said, you cannot recruit God into the hate walk. Are we together? Yeah. See, God cannot hate me because you hate him. You don't let anybody really, you know, make life complex for you. Right. There is something called the body, right? There's a teaching that has, I've heard it quite a number, and I've seen lots of my friends and, you know, I'm talking about non-ministerial friends as well, give that expression to their face of life as though there's something special about it. You hear believers say things like, what's the common thing you usually say? They'll say things like, if I was the only one on earth, Christ would have died. You are not the only one on earth, so there's no need to get your doctrine to that point. In fact, nothing in scripture teaches that if you are the only one on earth, Christ would have died for you. You understand? Yeah, I'm the apple of God's eyes. I'm God. That feeling that makes us feel very special to God, which is extracurricular from how special the world makes us see ourselves. You get what I'm trying to say? right? Yeah. A father has several children and loves the children equally. Are we together? How the children respond to his love will differ, but his love to each and everyone is the same. In fact, scripture says, for God so loved, in fact, let me say this differently. 1 John 2:1, right? He is the propitiation for our sins, verse 2. Not only our sins, verse 1 rather, not only our sins, but for the sins of the world. So Jesus didn't die for the believers. Jesus died for the entire world. In fact, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. So the love of God was not out of what you think you could do for him or what you've done. You know, God's love for you is not based on what you do or what you don't do for him. God's love for you is based on his love for you. It's just simple. Right? So you start hearing people say like, oh yeah, I'm the one. God will fight my battle. You see Christians telling other Christians that they will report them or take them to God in prayer. We need to be very careful. Our together, right? We need to be very careful. So you start seeing Christians trying to recruit God into their hatred game. Our together. So I hate brother, so I hate sister, so and so, right? So it means that because I hate that person, God should live that person's life. No, it doesn't work like that, my dear brother. It doesn't work like that, my dear sister. Our together, right? Like I said yesterday, yet to think that God has a worse enemy today than who you were as his enemy yesterday is to exhibit a level of pride. How together? So when you say, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, right? It says, let his enemies be scattered, not let God arise, let my enemies be scattered. Every enemy of my life that gangs up against me, what are you living for? No. Right? When you put when you cascade the levels of enemieship, how together? Yeah? Your own enemy will come before the enemy of God. Yet what God does to his enemy, right, is to repay good with evil. You get the point? So if God repays his enemy good with evil, God will repay your enemy, not evil with evil. You see, God will not put your enemy above his enemy. Because he wants to show that he loves you, he repays your enemy evil and repays his enemy good. No, that's not Christian theology. That's not Christian doctrine. So God does not like anybody more than the other, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So everlasting life is what God presents to everyone. Are we together? Believer, non-believer, everyone is presented with the message of everlasting life. So it says, let love be without dissimulation and above that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So why should Paul tell you to cleave to that which is good? Because Paul, a follower of Jesus, shows how to cleave to that which is good. Together. So we find ourselves in situations where we want to, our emotions are so involved in the things that we do. I say, no, nobody can start, in fact, it has now become very interesting. Touch not my anointed. And do my prophet no harm. Yeah, we've taught you what the context of that scripture is. You've not started using yourself as the anointed. I always get that. And you're actually talking to another anointed. So can an anointed touch another anointed? Yes. Can the anointed that touch the other anointed be working under the influence of the devil? Yes. I would get that. Will the anointed be touched? Yes. What does God expect from the anointed? Yeah. Look at that again. Let love be without dissimulation. Above that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, verse 10, affectionate one to another. So God arose and his enemies were dumbfounded. That is, let God arise. Right? So Psalms will say, let God arise. We will say, God arose. Are we together? Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. Are we together? Go to Acts chapter 2. I hope you're listening and you're not cooking, right? If you're cooking at a time like this, you're doing everything wrong. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Look at Acts chapter 2. So that selfish nature of you thinking you are God's best child, hey, you are not God's favorite one. You know, I was in a meeting with pastor, privileged meeting with pastor yesterday, and one of the things he was saying was that there is something bigger than each of us, and that is all of us. And that, and you know, I went to bed last night and I was just thinking of that phrase. What a way to teach so many series in one sentence. There is something bigger than each of us, and it is all of us. I'm saying God deals with us from by the lens through the lens. So if you associate yourself as a child of God, it must be on the pedigree of the children of God. Did you hear what I just said? Right? Yeah, it must be on the pedigree of the children of God. So there are children of God. You are one of them. Out of the children, there is no least favorite. There is no best favorite. In fact, you only have people. Let me say that differently. You don't have firstborn. You don't have lastborn. Let me say differently. We have one firstborn. We have one lastborn. Firstborn, first from the dead, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Are we together? Lastborn is all of us. We are all the second child, second children, second kid, anyhow you want to call it. We are the last born. Are we together? So the last born sheep of God is progressing with time. Hallelujah. Right? It hasn't come to an end. Right? The more souls are won, the more last borns God has. Last born is not as much as your number in the cadre of last borns. Last born means you are a child of God. So God doesn't have favorites. Are we together? Right? God only has people who respond to his love different from others. Are we together, right? The blessedness of the fact that you respond to God's love different from others is that you responded to God's love. That's why you always hear me say, the blessedness of obedience is in the fact that you obeyed. Are we together? God doesn't have favorite children based on their obedience level, but God has children who will differ in obedience level, and it will seem as though these are the favorites of God. You get the point, right? Now, be careful with the words I use. Favorites, okay? Now, look at Acts 2. Acts 2, right? Ye men of Israel 22, hear these words. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified him. Number 24, verse 24, whom God had raised up. So God raised up, having loosened the pain of death. Look at Acts chapter 4, right? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by which, what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye killed, ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. So let God arise means God will raise man from the dead. That is, God rose Jesus from the dead. And those people, so who are the enemies that will be scattered? Yeah, the people who in their actions crucified Jesus. Right? Those that enemies fundamentally, those that will be opposing, or they will think their action is to oppose. Right? Yeah? So look at Acts 2. He says, they have taken by wicked hands. Those are the enemies. Right? So they were the ones that crucified Jesus, and God rose him up from the dead. In the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, what do you see? You see an enemy loving God who still extends his hand and arm of love to those who crucified him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans chapter 12. I hope you are here today. Yeah? Look at Romans chapter 12. Yeah? So, now, let's just jump into exactly where we stopped yesterday. Go back to verse 14. Yeah? Don't forget the illustration I gave you. Never forget the illustration I gave you yesterday about dining table. You get the point? There is a dining table. There's a chief at the top of the dining table, and every other lastborn is at the left and right of the dining table to the ends of the earth. Are we together? And it's God's will that he keeps preparing a place on the table for everyone. So you see the funny thing? Let me now say this differently. I was listening to the message this morning. Something just dawned on me. I said, I would have said this in the middle of that. Now this is what I was going to say. Right? You see, on that table with Jesus at the dining table, or the supper table, we called it yesterday. Right? The blood in the singular cup of Jesus is enough for everybody on the table. Did you get that? Did you get what I said? The cup with the singular blood of Jesus on that table is enough for everybody on the table. But the ram that each individual has bring, one ram cannot be enough for everybody on the table. Makes sense now, right? Yeah. So the blood from your ram cannot be sufficient for everyone on the table. So what will be blood from your lamb? It will be your love work. Are we together? Right? Do you know what I'm trying to say? So your words need, let me say it differently. Your words need that you have, or these words things that you have, like 1 John will say, right? You cannot use your ram to feed everybody. I always get that. But the fact remains, there are people that ought to be fed from your lamb. But you see, the blood of Jesus in his cup, which is his life, will actually be sufficient for it. I mean, when the first person picks the cup and drinks, that is, they believe the gospel. When they give the next person the cup is as full as it was when the first person drank. You get the point? Yeah? So what is in that cup? I'm using blood in the cup to represent living water, the water that has life, or to represent blood. The blood of the flesh is in the life, or the life of the flesh is in the blood, and to represent what? The Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God will be like the blood in the cup that is equally distributed to everybody on the table. But you see that ram. So Isaiah will say, well, stop doing evil. Learn to do well. If you be willing and obedient, you shall drink of the cup of the table. Altogether. So he says, learn to do well. He says, who has asked you to bring ram to the table of Jesus? Altogether. Who has asked you to bring your cup with the blood of your ram? No, you shouldn't do that. What you should do is to come. So what is true faith? True faith coming to the dining of Jesus is to come without the cup of the blood of your ram. Altogether. True faith without, let me say that differently. True faith regarding the blood of Jesus and the table of Jesus is to come with the blood, is to come with your hand without the cup of the blood of your ram, and to also come to the table with the blood of your ram in a cup. So you are coming with both a cup and you are coming without a cup. The two coming is one coming. Are we together? So your coming really means, so the one that has to do without a cup in your hand is your faith in Jesus. So all you need is your faith, right? But you have something in your hand that you can give, right? So what the Paul now teaching now says, bless them that persecute you. Verse 14, it says, bless and not curse. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and not curse. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and not curse. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and not curse. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and not curse. That means there is no time when someone persecutes you that you are permitted as a believer to curse. I curse the day you were born is not scripturally backed up. How together? But Pastor, what are the people? What are the people that are persecuted the church heavily in different parts of the world? The truth remains. Look at it. Will that stop? I highly doubt it will ever stop. Well, let me say that differently. Because we trust that the message of the gospel will spread and spread rapidly, we are trusting that one day that will stop. But more often than not, in this our time in our generation, are we together with the kind of social media Christians that we are raising? It will continue for a long time. But we trust God's Spirit. You get the point? Are you with me? Right? So what does the Bible teach? You know, I used to say this from years ago, and I always say it to leaders consistently. I say, you see, when you walk in the flesh, I'll be proud of you as your pastor if you can admit that you just walked in the flesh, right? And you end with a statement like this, Pastor, you see this thing that I just did, I know it is wrong, right? But, Pastor, let's just leave it as we are just growing. I'm telling you, I'll be prouder of you if you do that. Now, that does not mean that you're going to be keeping malice up and down. Come and say you are all going, no. That's not the point. I'm trying to say that in the very few days of pastoring and leading people, right, when I see people own up to the works of the flesh and they make it their identity, right, it just throws me off. Because I'm like, you should actually first admit that you're in the wrong. Nobody has a change of life or change of heart without first admitting there is something wrong with you. That is why coming to the table of Jesus to drink of his blood means you have admitted you are hungry. Let he that thirst come. So you are hungry. Let he that has no food, let he that wants to eat come to the table. So the first point is to first acknowledge you have a problem. You get the point? Yeah, let me say it. It's not bad for a Christian to have a problem in Christ. You are in Christ, but it is a problem. A problem is a problem. You are not a problem. Like I said, you have a problem. You get the point? Yeah, you have a problem. It's not you are a problem. Yeah, you have a problem. It's different from you are the problem. You are not the problem because you are righteous, perfect, holy, set apart because you drank from the blood on the table. But you could have drank of that blood and still shut your bowels of compassion, right? And in the real sense, we can say you have a problem. It is a problem. It can be addressed. If you don't admit that what is on your hand is hot, you will not think there's a need to drop it down. You hear that? If you don't admit that what is in your hand is hot and is burning your palm, if you don't admit it, you will not see the need to drop it down. So the pot is not you. You are righteous, sanctified, holy, blameless, set apart, justified in Christ Jesus. Right? You are his child. Yeah? But you see, in that reality, yeah, you can give room to the works of the flesh. You get the point? Yeah? So Paul says, bless them which persecute you, bless and not curse. Now let's keep reading. We'll stay there a little, right? Look at verse 17. 17 is like a good continuation to verse 14. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. The word there, recompense, means it's going from the word compensation. Recompense, that means compensation. What is compensation? You are giving somebody something that they deserve. Are we together? What is recompensation? You are giving someone something that they deserve because of what they did to you, right? It's really the same thing. So recompense means to repay. Are we together? That means they gave you something you are paying back, right? Yeah, they gave you something you are paying back. What did Paul say? He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. So when somebody gives you evil, what should you not do? You repay back with evil. In fact, let me see differently. Like I said, we Christians, sometimes we can be very interesting. We can show our lives to the public as though we don't want evil to happen to people who do evil to us. But when we go back behind the scene, we go and fast and pray for evil to happen to them. Right? So it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide. You see, God is an enemy loving God. We said that yesterday. Don't forget, Romans 5. Yeah, when you were without strength, Christ died for you. When you were a sinner, Christ died for you. When you were an enemy of God, Christ died for you. So it means as that when Jesus was resurrecting, we were all in the camp of his enemies. In the real sense, he gave his blood for us. So God is a, what do you call people that don't have strength? God is a weak loving God. God is a sinner loving God. God is a weak man loving God. God is an enemy loving God. So when man brings teeth, what does God not give man? Tats. Hope this one makes it clear again. Yeah? When man brings teeth, God does not give tats. Because teeth for tats is recompensation. You get the point? You're following now? Yeah? So teeth for tats is recompensation. Yeah? So when man brings teeth, what does man, I hope you know what I'm saying, teeth. Teeth is not tooth. Yeah, teeth. Teeth for tat. Yeah? So when man brings teeth, what does God bring? His blood. When man brings teeth, what does God not bring? Tat. When believers give believers teeth, what do believers give back? Tat. Yeah? So believers are fond of giving teeth for tat. You know what? You know the Greek lexicon. Let me not go there. Right? But you know, there is a word that you can use to replace teeth for tat. It's called karma. You see that expectation of karma. Okay. Man does something to God. Right? God does not recompense and say it is karma. Are there rules and principles on this earth that men usually will reap what they sow? Yes. You get the point? Are we together? Right? Yeah. We need to be very careful. Let me tell you something. Let me just say this in passing. Right? We've done a series on believers' authority, and I think I touched a little on it. Right? I think we've done quite a number of series around that as well. Believers walk as well, not the believers walk. I think it's believers walk. I think we did that a couple of years, maybe 2023 or so, right? Now, you see, there's a lot that happens behind the scene of this world that the eyes of man cannot see. Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Listen to my question very well. Can you do teeth to a man? And ideally, let me say differently. Believer A does teeth to believer B. Believer B does touch to believer A. Is believer A, believer B, which of them is correct? None of them. But let's assume there is one that can pass the test of the worst scenario. Believer B is worse. He who responds with that is worse than he who responds with... let me say it differently. He who responds with that is worse than he who gives teeth. Joshua Yusuf, 1922. You hear that? Yeah? Yeah? He who responds with tat. Yeah? Believer A, believer B, teeth for tat. He who responds to tat with tat. Because there's a tendency a teeth might be a mistake. But when you think you must respond with tat, you are in the wrong. You are wronger than the first wrong. Let me say it differently. You are wronger than the first wrongy. You get the point? Yeah? So, but let me ask you a question again. Can believer A do something to believer B? And believer B will say, I curse you. And it will manifest the way he has said it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I would get that. Is that expected? Oh, no. So it means that there are certain forces. Let me stay with the word force. I know it's another word, but I'll change it. Right? That act according to words in this earth. And more often than not, they activate more negative things. Have you heard people talk about, say, the word of a match, I was talking to you a couple years ago. Right? You know, and I was saying, try and guard your words. Stop saying negative things. And this one thing, you've killed me today. Even me, as I just said, if I feel very weird. That's why you never see me write, you know, LWKMD. How do you write it? Laugh, something, key, somebody, you know? Yeah? Now, you know, but there was somebody I was talking to the other time, and the person was saying, all those things doesn't matter. I beg is the Greek word for saying, regardless. Yeah? All this doesn't matter. Yeah? Now, why is it that I can say negative things, right? And it'll come to pass, but when I say positivity, I ought to be a billionaire tomorrow, it doesn't happen. You don't know that there are more negative forces in this world. Are we together? And it takes much more intensity to actually employ and engage the positive forces. You see, what I just said, do with it whatever you want to do with it. But it has come to be a reality. You get the point? Yeah? There is so much struggle in life that you cannot afford to add your words of your mouth to support your downfall or to support the downfall of someone. Altogether, right? And I know this thing leads you to believers. Some of us as believers, when we start learning God's word, we begin to think like we are above touching, right? We can do anything and get away with it. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. That is why a Peter will pronounce words and an Ananias in Acts 4 and the wife will die. If it was one, they can say coincidence. Two is no longer coincidence. Two people die within a few minutes into hours is not coincidence. That there is something that happened there. Let me tell you, did Peter do the right thing? No. Peter was in the wrong. In fact, Peter was wrong. You know what I said? The person who gives start for teeth is wronger than the wrongy. In Acts 5, Peter was wronger than Ananias and Sapphira. Because what should Peter meet with Ananias and Sapphira? Peter should meet with them, nothing to their teeth, but the blood of the resurrection. What did Stephen, we saw that yesterday, what did Stephen meet with the men that were stoning him to death? He met with them with the love of God. He says, count this not against them. What was Peter supposed to do as a matured believer? Count this not against them. What did Peter do? He gave teeth for tats. He gave tats for teeth. What do believers do? Teeth for tat. I know somebody can listen to me now and say, if Peter can give teeth for tat, Pastor, please leave me. Let me first finish my teeth for tat, then I will grow up spiritually. That should tell you, you don't plan to grow up. Because it is in opportunities where people give you teeth that you experiment how far you grow, or how fast you are growing, or how well you are growing, or how well God's word is transforming your heart. Amen, 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 amen. I hope you are following today. I want to gather. So Peter, right? Peter did not walk in love. He was supposed to walk in love. I believe strongly that lying to Peter is not as grievous as stoning another human being to death. That means there's every tendency, if it was Peter they were stoning, he would have called down heavenly angels and fire to destroy all of them. After all, we have example of Elijah. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Eh? It is reality. Yeah. So why am I saying this? I'm saying there are people, right, whose words have carried so much power in this world. And it will, in fact, because what Peter did to those people is more than, I think Peter gave them tat. They broke teeth, he gave them tat. Because that's too much. Just say die. Just give one sermon that quenches their heart. And you now tell the wife, the people that buried your husband, look at their feet, they're waiting to carry you. Oh, that is tat. But guess what? Peter grew up. That's why you see, that's the only record of that scenario in the entire ministry of Peter after the resurrection of Jesus. You get the point? Yeah? There's something called spiritual growth. Yeah? So why do we say these things? It is for you to wake up and grow so that you can become better in the workings and the walking of the Spirit. Right? So what will Paul say to Peter? When you are persecuted, bless them that persecute you. Bless them that insult you. Bless them that help you. You see, these things we say, it sounds very interesting, right? But it's just very, very clear, honest truth. And you see, for me as a person, like I said yesterday, right? One of the things I know I do well, right? I'm getting better at it. You get the point, right? I remember there was a leader who was speaking, one of you was speaking to me a couple, you know, months ago about, after some things that happened, probably a few months, a couple months ago, I was like, how do you manage to move on and forgive people like that? It was expected from me. Any other thing I do is not what's expected from me. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Do you know what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah, you know, I always give you an example, right? There was somebody who was in church at the time, and you know, he knows how to lie very well. You know, there are people, they are known for lying. You just know them, and just say, this is a liar, this is a proper liar. And you know, unfortunately, some people don't think you are smart, and the way they lie is disgusting. You know, sometimes you just like, can I give you a little brain or sense to help you teach you how to manufacture your life? Yeah, there's a brother that time, you know, he just wanted to make one lie like that. He just said, what was the lie? Very simple. I'll say the lie. Very simple. Yeah, he came late to church. After service finished, brother, you came late to church. Guess what he say? Pastor, I got to this train. See the lie. And you know the unfortunate thing? He didn't think that, let's assume pastor is a dunce. Somebody else that is in the church that will hear that story will think is a stupid liar. That's very disgusting. But guess what? We maintained relationship with the person. We kept believing the best of the person, right? And you realize that the person stayed after that lie months in church without me treating that person on account of that. Do you get what I just said? Right? What was the lie? He said he was supposed to be in church at maybe 9 o'clock. He said he got to his bus station at 8 a.m. Guess what? He came to church at 10:36 a.m. that morning. I can't forget. Yeah, let me tell you, for most of you, even all of you, I know the exact second you walk into church and the time. Yeah, 10:36 was when you walked into church that Sunday. And I was like, you came to church, what happened? Pastor, I was at the train station at 8 o'clock. This is not figurative, oh. I was at the train station at 8 o'clock, right? Yeah, why am I using the example? Like I said yesterday, yeah, you must settle it in your heart. There will be bad conducts that will be used to teach. You know, when I'm saying this one, now you'll be laughing. Yeah, tomorrow, don't be the person that will do your own, because other people will laugh too. You might be upset. And we don't really send like that. Yeah, you must get that. Yeah. So he said, Pastor, I was at the church at 8 o'clock. See the stupid lie. Very stupid. He said, the former church he was going to, the man was driving church bus to go and pick members in their house. He's living in Edinburgh. I'm not talking about Nigeria church. I'm talking about Edinburgh. Edinburgh church is less than, is 3 years plus. So, I was together. And he said, it was a bus station waiting to catch the bus, so you'll be in church before 9 o'clock. Openly, not private, though, openly in church, right? And unfortunately, the man now saw him, his former youth pastor in his former church that was driving bus to go and pick members, now paused on the road, and now said, brother, how are you doing? I almost called his name. Brother, how are you doing? Oh, it's been a while. And he now said that brother stayed with him at the bus stop and was trying to win him back to church for over 1 hour. Even that kind of thing, I thought I was talking to my friend. You know that kind of thing where even devil will cut cap for you. Stupid liar. And a member be sent by their church to go and pick other members for Sunday morning service, and they see the lost sheep, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He saw the lost sheep at the bus stop. Then you park the bus that church fueled. You back the bus that is labeled with the church name logo. You park the bus at the center of the road to meet a brother at the bus stop and try to win him back to church for over 1 hour. Eventually, he said, before he missed, he said as he was standing at the bus stop, about 2 to 3 buses passing altogether. You know, that's, answer this question. This lie I just told you, and the one of Ananias that he sold land, and they did not bring the money. Which one is worse? Which one is worse? You get the point? Yeah, but guess what? You see, what did God expect me to do with that person? I don't give him tax for it. You get the point? Yeah? Stayed for months until he relocated. Eventually, he didn't leave the church for any reason. He left the church upon account of relocating out of the country. You get the point, right? And I'm saying it to you, there are many times that you are for instance, as a leader, as a pastor, you'll be very patient with the excesses of people. It's all part of the training process. A couple years ago, I had a friend, very dear friend of me, by listening to this, and like I said, it's just the reality. In my listening to this, and that's just the point, right? Did all manners of things, said all manners of things I got to hear about, did all manners of things. Eventually, what was expected from me, not that. A few days ago, he just called me and was saying to me that the only human being that has been as clear right, in giving them administration and their family, right, as clear as myself, is one other human being. And he mentioned the name of the person. He said the name is Pastor Amos Yusuf. That's my father. Are we together? Right? I could have responded to that guy, right? My good friend. I could have responded to him with that. But that's not what's expected for me. If I do tit for tat with that guy, men will heal me, but God will not heal me. Why am I giving you clear life, realistic story? So you don't think we fell from the tree. Are we together? I'm talking about very gross things that will make you wonder, how do people turn from this to this? Do you understand? How do people talk from this to this? All together, right? Eventually, you know, had a relationship with them, came back, you know, that kind of coming back without not wanting to come straight and own up to, you know, just when people do wrong, they know they do wrong, particularly if you are smart. All together. And they came back and eventually I opened up the relationship, right? Went to their house one of those days, right? And they asked me to pray with them. And I gave them very definite words of knowledge and words of wisdom, over five of them. And as we speak today, all of them plus more, right? Just the same way I said, if I responded to that guy with that, I shouldn't have ministered by the Spirit to him and his family. Just the same way as it was said. Like I said, it's something anybody can watch. You see, when it comes to Bible doctrine, conduct that is good is good. Conduct that is bad is bad. And when I think there is good conduct that I exhibit, I will preach it. When it is bad, you know, I always say it. The ones that I know that is excessive, I will say it as well. Yeah, back to the story of the guy that was lying to me. My wife called me after that meeting. I was like, you know, she just looked at me and we're just driving home. She was like, how do you manage to hold your straight face and still just act normally to people when they lie to you like that? That's the love work. And that's the love work. That's the love work. You know why? You see, that was not going to cost me anything to just say, okay, that's fine. Next time, come and teach. It wasn't going to cost me anything. Right? I will probably lose that person more if I instantly told him you are a blunt liar to his face. If he had remained in church a few years down the line, you know what I would have done? I would have called him and told him, you know, I knew what you did then. Right? But you see what will happen more often than not? That's what people will eventually do. What will now chase them from church is that guilty conscience. You know that thing called guilty conscience? It is real reality, yo. Because you feel guilty. Yeah, pastor sees me as a liar. You're not a liar. No, you're not a liar. You have a problem. Remember, sorry, you're not a liar. You lied. You are a righteous man who lied. You get the point, right? So these things are the expectation for the believer. Bless them. So when you have the opportunity to pray over the life of someone who did teach to you, don't pray for them on account of what they've done for you. If I prayed for that family, like I said earlier on account of what they did to me, right? That prayer should not have gone well. I'm blessed by God that they think me worthy to still pray over them at that phase. It's a privilege. It also means in their heart of hearts, they know. You know what? One thing I found out in ministry is, as a pastor, there are people you offend. You know you offended them, and there are more people who you did not offend. Are we together? You did not offend. You will not offend. You never will offend. Never have offended them, right? But they will walk in offense. What did Jesus do to John the Baptist that he will say, "Go and ask that the person that said, behold the Lamb of the world that takes away the sin of the world." What could Jesus have done to John the Baptist? Now you say, go and ask him, is he the Messiah? That's offense. You will not do it. People walk in offense. Are we together? Yeah. What could Jesus have done to Judas? Jesus gave the entire course of his ministry to brother Judas. What did he do to Judas? Nothing. What did Jesus do to Peter? Nothing. All together. So you see, there's something called self-awareness. You should be able to know when what you've done is wrong. Own up to it and apologize. Right? Yeah. You should be able to know when what you've done is wrong and somebody confronts with you. You own up to it, apologize and change your ways. But let me tell you, the expectation for every time anybody does anything wrong to you is not tit for tat, but it is tit for the blood of Jesus. Praise God. I can keep listing stories and stories and stories and stories and stories. I have plenty. It's plenty in my head, though. It's plenty in my head. Yeah. I think one of the things God has done for us as a ministry is that he has helped us, and these prophecies came from years ago. He has helped us to see a lot of dynamics that should spread across 15, 20 years, right? Compressed into a couple years. He has helped us to see it. He has helped us see it very effectively. Yeah. What would you say of a member who you will be asking a question, trying to help them? right? And in fact, your intention, now this is what a love walk is. Your intention is to help them. But what you got is an insult. What was the insult? Eh? I tried to reach out to someone. I was like, oh, what's the update with this? And what's the update with that? Right? And right in front of me, right, the lady told me, right, she's not in the right position to speak to me about this matter. I should go and meet her husband. So they gave me instructions to go and meet the husband. Guess what? I went to go and meet the husband. Right? Guess what? The intention, the money I had in my mind to give to them, right? The money I had in my mind to give to them, right? Is the same amount I still gave to them. I dashed them. Hundreds of thousands. Not of pounds. You get the point? That is true love work. You don't meet a lot. I say I can keep listing. So sometimes some people get into this situation and they feel like, no, pastor, you don't understand. I don't think... Let me tell you something. You see this thing called church hurt as a concept. The person that is hurt the most based on church hurt in a church is the pastor. Go and write it down anywhere. There is no single member that can be as hurt as a pastor of a church. It's not possible. You know why? Because you as a single member, the worst case scenario, 2-3 members, let's say you are very bad with relationship. Maybe 2-3-4 members will be keeping offense with you in a growing church of maybe 100 people. Yeah, but you see, in a church of 100 people for pastor, you can have 15 to 20. No. What is the ratio of Peter and Judas out of 12? Yeah, what's the ratio? Think about it now. What's the ratio of that? Yeah, you can have, you cannot have anybody as hot as a pastor in a church. It's not possible. It's not possible. Why am I saying it this way? So that you will know, like I said, what is our vision? To see men coming to the reality of God's love and to train them for ministry. When you are being trained for ministry, it means you will be exposed to very, very, very fundamental devices of the devil in operation amongst born-again believers. You know when you say born-again believers, it's like tautology. But guess what? There is never a time when your response to teeth is that. Let me tell you, there's not a time when you respond with teeth for that and God will say, well done, that's my precious son. I'm so proud of you. No, there's never a time, not once. So the concept of church hurt, right? More often than not, it is actually no, there is none of you who can be hurt as me, as the pastor of the church in God's palace. It's impossible. When my dad was pastoring, right? I was privileged to certain information. There was nobody in the church that could have been as hurt as him. Yeah, let me say it this way. Yeah, you'll find that more often than not, based on church matters, nobody cries more than the pastor in the church. I'm not saying that's new. I'm just trying, just put it as figuratively. Yeah, I'm just trying to say, take it up as figurative. So cry is just a figurative way of speaking about, feel so much strong pain. You know that kind of pain that your heart will be heavy. But guess what? You'll find yourself in the middle of the night still praying for them, blessing them. Yeah, may your life progress. It's well with you. It's fine. It's okay. Right? I'm saying to you, you don't start praying for your enemies only when they now come back to you to apologize to you. You see that relationship of that person I told you earlier on, that family? The only reason that thing could have happened, I can say it anywhere, any place, on any radio station, any TV station, it is because I maintained a posture of prayer for them. That's the only way. Because the only thing I did wrong to them was to help where I could and when I could. That's the only thing I did to them. Yeah? But my good was paid back with other things, right? And eventually, before they came back to apologize, what did I do? I maintained my posture of love work. Altogether, a very precious friend of mine, right? He will always say to me, he rarely sees people who really genuinely practice what they preach. That's good practice. I'm trying to say, there is, let's assume someone does something to me. And I tell you what that person did to me. I'm saying there's nothing you can say to me that can make me hate that person. Do you get what I'm trying to say? There is nothing you can say to me. I'm saying somebody offended. It's me they offended. It's me they slapped. Yeah? But there's nothing you can say to me. It only happens by feeding on the word. Yeah? It only happens that way. Right? So, people say, bless them that bless you. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Romans chapter 12. Altogether, Romans chapter 12. Bless the heart of, you know, if any one of you are listening to me and maybe you're part of the people I spoke about, bless your hearts. I love you so much. Jesus is glorified always. Praise God. Yeah? Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Right? Yeah? There is no time that you give a man evil for evil that God will say, well done, you are my precious child. Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 5, be therefore followers of God, right? And walk in love. So you are a follower. The word the follower is the word mimicker, the one that imitates. So you imitate. You get the point, right? So what is expected for me as a pastor? I don't imitate what people do to me. I don't imitate what people do to me, number one. I don't imitate what other people do to other people, number two. I imitate what Jesus does to humanity, what Jesus did to me. What I'm doing is building up into something that will touch over the next few days, right? So I am imitating his path. He leads, I follow. That is why is you forgive us our trespasses so that we forgive. The reason why it is he forgives before us is that he leads, we follow. You get the point? You get the point, right? So walking in love can be a theory in your mind. Are we together? But let walking in love leave the theoretical part of your mind and marinate your heart and also marinate your conduct. Man might look at you and say you are foolish and stupid. But God looks at you and says, that's my precious child. Have you not found out when you grow, when we're growing up, when you do something good, what will your father say? That's my son. Yeah? When you do something that is not good, what will your father say? Yeah? Better come and take this to your son. You get the point? Because the father believes that what the son just did is imitating the mother. He's not imitating him. So take that concept in a very vague way and put it in application with God's word, right? Imagine when you walk in love, when it's supposed to be the toughest time. Like I said, walking in love does not happen when we are friends, jolly, relationship together, keeping out together. So one of the things you must first do, you know, and we'll look at it today. One of the things that makes hurt painful is the person you tell something. Yeah. Yeah, let me say it differently. Let me say it very clearly. Please listen to what I'm saying and make sure this guides your intention going forward. You know, we said this a few weeks ago. We did it particularly in the local church series and also the cultural honor. We said, the moment you talk to the wrong person about the right thing, you've done the wrong thing. You get the point, right? Yeah. The moment you talk to the right, there are some people, the only reason why they still hate people that offended them yesterday is because they are trying to keep tab with their accountability partner. That's a parable. See, the moment you tell another that should not have heard about a matter, and you know, let me tell you clearly, I have categories of friends. I have friends that if I want my heart to feel the gravity of hurt that somebody did to me more, I will call them. And I have friends that regardless of what I say someone did to me, the worst that they will do and the best that they will do is the same. They will encourage me in the word. Are we together? Yeah. So you know what I stopped doing years ago, right? Because your friendship, you have to begin to sieve your friendship as you grow. Years ago, I stopped telling the wrong people. Are we together? What I'm trying to say is that, you know, the truth is that when people do certain things to you, more often than not, you feel better when you voice it out to somebody else, right? Yeah. Voicing it out to somebody else, you must find out who the somebody else is. You had better have more people around you who that when you voice out such concerns to, they will stick to the word than stick to the world. So I have friends that if I want a matter to pay me more, you see what I just said, that pay me more is a parable because people like people to feel their empathy or to feel pity for them, right? So they like it when somebody tells them something and the person is on their same page. I mean, I don't know how to do that kind of thing, you know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, you don't just wake up one day, call me one day, tell me one story, and I'm going to say, no, that does not make any sense. Why is the guy acting so stupid? That doesn't work that way. Yeah, you will learn. And that brother will say, you will learn the hard way. Ministry. Ministry will teach you. Someone will be like, I'm doing a live Bible share. Ministry will teach you. Ministry will teach you. Yeah? Let's assume. In fact, it has happened over and over and over and over and over. There was one that recently happened just recently, you know, a couple and all of those things. And, you know, I was privileged to come into the matter and try to help out. When party A told me their own, it is, In fact, I was mixing it such that you will not know which one is whom and which one is whom. As you wish know which one is positive, which one is negative. Eventually, the matter has been resolved. Yeah, but you know one thing I'm sure of? They could not have resolved that matter on my head. I learned it in 2013. No. No, I know I've said it before. 2013, that was the last time it happened. Eh? Where you will be saying something to one party, right? Because of what the one party, you know, as they always say, first to talk is the one that usually is correct. That's not life, oh. It's not always true. Yeah? In this life, we find ourselves, the world is making it look as though the loudest voice is always the correct one. It's not correct. It's not true. It's not true. Yeah? So, what do you do? Yeah? You cannot tell me something about someone and it begins to create in me a level of hate for the person. Why? Because what God expects you to meet for your tat, your teeth, or the person's teeth to you is not tat, or your tat, or my tat. It is the resurrection of Jesus. Right? So you know what I eventually do? I try to see how we can tackle what is the issue. Leave the person. What are the issues? What are the things we can do? Where can we align and put ourselves together and make sure that the right thing will actually happen for us to move forward? You get the point, right? So bless them. You can tell I'm paying a lot of attention to this particular verse for today. It's very, very important, right? I decided to use today particularly for practical examples. Altogether, practical examples. Yeah, and let me say it this way. Sometimes the level of entitlement is what eventually makes some of us to get into serious offense. You get the point, right? And I'll tell you for free, I had to break out of it. I'm telling you, Frank, I had to break out of it. I had to break out of it. What does that mean? You know, meaning that because I know so many people, right? It's been a gradual process. I can't even say I've even finally fully broken out of it. It's still gradual. Yeah? Because you feel like you know so many people who you've been there for, committed to, truly there for, genuinely there for, right? You think that by default, they should also hold you on the same pedestal. That is not life. You have to grow out of it, my dear brother and sister. It's not life. Yeah, it's not life. It's not life. It's not life. It's not reality. Altogether. Right? So what do I do now? And you realize that when you start living a life free of that ideology, you have a better living life. You live more peacefully. Your face will be shining more. You'll be glowing, but you'll be going through all that stress of life, but you're not sure. Yeah, that sense of entitlement, that sense of stress. Do you understand? It's not necessary. I like to come down to earth. Let's be clear. Yeah, there are people you are upset. If you listen to me right now, yeah, you are upset at somebody that did not tell you that they were pregnant. You're upset at someone that did not tell you, that they gave birth. And because of that, some of you now say, okay, and that one, that's me. Eh? But because they now give birth, you don't now wish the child well. You are not. Work on your heart. Work on your heart. Yeah. Work on your heart. I've gotten so busy that I'm talking about intentional busy that I can't keep tab with everybody who is pregnant at every given point of my life. In fact, in very recent years, I don't think there's been a month I don't know at least 2-3 people who are pregnant. I'm talking about the ones I'm privileged to know, and maybe they'll come and tell me. But you see, right? Yeah. On my own time and my own turn, yeah, I did not tell the people who told me they were pregnant on account of the fact that they told me. I told them on account of where I placed them in my life. And it is a truth they must accept, because me too, I've had to accept it myself as well. You can't get upset with people. You didn't tell me you changed your car. Why should I tell you I changed my car? I don't understand. Is it that you gave me the money to invest and I took out of the money to invest and I now changed my car? Right? Right? I changed my child's school. Okay? I didn't seek your counsel. 24 elders. Well done, ma. 24 elders. Act 24 elders. Well done, sir. Oh, you need to get yourself out of it. And some people are walking in offense with people because of that thing. You just feel like, I don't wish them. You know, sometimes you don't have to voice that you don't wish people well. Your mind will also, if we can bring a microscope, whatever you call it, to view the intent of people's hearts, you'll be shocked as to how black a lot of believers' hearts are. Even though God has made it white as snow. Are we together? Yeah? See, learn to pick yourself and move on quickly. You can't be offended that somebody came to your city and the person did not tell you. You now say, you now see them in the picture on the bus. I don't understand. Right? In fact, for me, when it even happens, I will even just say, you're in our city, yo. Yeah? If anything you get from that message is your own. Yeah? I'm not obligating you. In fact, if you think I'm obligating you to make sure we see, I don't even have me. I don't even have the energy. Where will I even create the time to hang out? There is that. So me telling you just, maybe you don't know. Oh, welcome to, I hope you are enjoying Edinburgh. And it's more than that. Those that will say, oh, Edinburgh is beautiful, fine. And those that will say, oh, let's see. If it's convenient, it's not convenient. I won't, you can't tell me you came to Edinburgh for 3 days. On the second day was when I saw you on double decker bus. And you now expect me to find my calendar. I'm not jobless. So I'll now squeeze my calendar to make sure you knew that I messaged to greet you on double decker. I know now. Yeah. So it just means that I have to get myself to come up either. At the point, you can actually, somebody can tell you something that you thought they should have told you earlier, right? And it gets to you, but move on from it quickly. Leave it behind. Because from that point, you begin to use that lens to view them going forward. Have you not noticed sometimes, if you're not careful, you will see somebody's status. You are just tapping everybody's picture, tapping. When you see their face, you just turn your neck like this. You are the one that will have high blood pressure. You see this love war concept? It is you that is holding the pot of oil that will fill the brunt. Imagine somebody thinks now that I'm keeping malice with them, right? You know, I always say it this way, right? I say it comfortably and conveniently. There is nobody who has walked out of my life, not one human being, who has walked out of my life, who, when they shut the door, closed the door, threw the key into the lagoon, that I shut my door as well. Not one. There's not one. Not one. You know what that means? It means there is nobody who is irredeemable. Now, that does not mean that I don't put checks and balances in place. You must put check. You must help yourself. You must help your heart. Altogether, you must help them. You must help yourself. Not the one that everything, let me not say what I already say, right? But there's no one. Why? Because, now, see it this way. You must be careful enough to know how to draw the line between walking in the flesh, right, and keeping appropriate boundaries. Altogether. Yeah, I have several people, like I told you of one on Sunday, right? This lady just blocked me. What was the reason? I didn't speak about a movement in my country. That's all. If that movement happened to tomorrow, I highly doubt I will speak about it tomorrow. Yeah? Yeah. But when it was time, she used her hand to block me. You get the point? How do I know she blocked me? You know, that moment, video? It was at that moment that I knew. That kind of moment where they cross your heart. Guess what happened? They crossed my heart, and I tried to search for their name. And I sent message on the WhatsApp. I wasn't going. I went on Instagram. I said the name. I said, okay. I know I always believe best person. Maybe they left online to go and face other things. Maybe the prayer is too much. It's not true. Until I saw somebody take screenshot of their shot and post. I said, it's only me, touch you. What did I do? I prayed for that person. Guess what? I can tell you for free. It is only because I prayed for that person. When she needed my help, I can call her name. Like I said, when she needed my help again, a few weeks after, the same finger she used to block the door, she went to go and look for the key in the lagoon and came to open it. But I didn't shut my door to them. But there were boundaries. Altogether, right? There were boundaries. Yeah, you must ensure that you draw the line between boundaries and draw the line between walking in the flesh. Sometimes the boundary we draw is walking in the flesh. Altogether. Let me give you an example. This is going to be very touchy, right? But we can pick it up on Sunday if you have any question around. It's going to be touchy. I'm preparing your mind. Very touchy, right? Imagine, for instance, your boyfriend breaks your heart, right? And you are the HR in your company. And you notice your boyfriend that broke your heart. He has been looking for a job. And you are the HR in your company. And he's the best candidate, right? But because of how much your heart is broken, yeah, you remove his entire profile. Such that they look for it, they don't see it. And they now give the second best the job. Somebody will say that's guarding their space. This is somebody you know cannot feed himself. Oh. You know, this is somebody that you know that is looking for this job mightily. This is somebody you know that if his parents don't send him money, that's the only way he has been eating. And you feel like, and it's the best for that job. Right? Let me tell you what guarding your space means. Guarding your space really means that you are HR. That person's role is not HR. Yeah? Yeah? That person's role is not HR. So it means that person might not work in your team. You get the point, right? So it means that there might be a way to be able to build a neutral ground where that person gets the job and your interaction is less. Let me even say it differently, right? That this thing we call guarding our hearts and putting boundaries, right, is not sometimes, just so I don't see this on online. All right, yeah? Sometimes we take it the extra mile. You get the point, yeah? You've allowed the hurt from your relationship to affect the future and destiny of another person. Out together, yeah. If you really want a situation where you don't want that guy to be in your environment again, yeah. You know what you do? Look for another job. You see that's more difficult. Look for another job. But you know, let me tell you. You know, looking for another job is part of love work. It's part of love work. Look for another job. Look for another job. If he follow you again, then go and look for another job. Now, so me saying look for another job is I'm trying to give you easy way to run out. Yeah, you can't say you are guarding your space and you remove the person's CV and tow it, and that's not guarding your space, my brother. That's guarding the devil. Eh? That's wickedness of the highest order. Think what I'm trying to say? You remove the document. I'm saying this is the best candidate for the job. Because you just said, this surname looks familiar. Olakunle Sylvia. Olakunle, he checked the address, he's living in a poor resettlement. This has to be Olakunle Sylvia. Abi Sylvia, what about this guy? Sylvia, yeah, one of my friends, I just had to use his name. That's not the full name though, right? And you now remove his document, and you now say, no, you must sit on it. No, that's not love work. That's not guarding your space. That's guarding the enemy. That's guarding the devil. All together, right? Yeah, what can guarding your heart mean? Yeah. If the moment somebody hurts you in the heat of the moment is a fresh wound, for instance, right? You know, you cannot be using your data to give yourself high blood pressure. You can stay off WhatsApp or mute the person. Are we together? You can stay off Instagram, right? Or mute the person. Bless the God. I pray, oh Lord, Father God of glory. May Mark Zuckerberg not get to a point where that they will notify people that we are muting. You know, you are going to be in trouble. For some of you that admitted me, imagine you just open your phone. You just say, brother, Ebuka, and you just say, Ebuka USA, muted you. May it not get to that point where you can notify the person you are muting and you will not know to notify the person. Yeah, I hope you get the joke, right? But the point is this, right? There are other things you can put in place. Are we together? Someone who broke your heart, right? You want to try to resolve the issue, right? You clearly still have emotions for this person. Walking in love towards your new partner and even towards yourself, for instance, will mean you don't tackle the matter in Lenodia Hotel. Don't go to Hilton, a private room on the 7th floor to tackle the matter. No. That not going there is part of love work. Going there is not love. Don't say, no. I just, because God, pastor has told us to just, you know, follow peace with all men. As long as life, that's not what I'm teaching. No. There will be places and points and things you can guard yourself. And the reason why I'm trying to be careful with this part of this teaching is it's on endless. Different people have different ways they guard their cycle. But what I'm trying to say is never get to a point where you respond to another, right, with evil because they've done evil to you. Just get that as a conclusion, right? Yeah. I'll say something again, maybe before tomorrow or next, that will help you guide you in deciding what is too much and what is okay. We spend a lot of time here. Now go to verse 18. If it be possible, as much as a light in you, live peaceably with all men. All men includes those that persecute you, those that do evil to you. He says, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. So what does God expect? How does God expect you to live with all men peaceably? You get the point? Peaceably. You know, it's unfortunate in our generation when things happen between believers and taking social media to address the matter. No, that's wrong practice. That's wrong practice. Yeah. And for some of you who read those very interesting stories, there's one story that somebody sent to me. I can't remember the name of this person's profile, but something Jolo for me or Jolo for me or something like that. Yeah. You know, and you know, and there's another name again, something. Let me tell you what I did. But I saw this thing. I couldn't even read the full story, but I just saw the line of thought, right? Because I think, let me not go into that detail, but I just saw a line of thoughts, read it, skimmed through it, and I moved on. And I told the person, I said, please, you can't afford to send a thing like this to me and tell me what's my view. No, right? If you want us to have an hypothetical story, why don't read it in detail? I want to get my view, want me to explain it from God's word, then we can have that conversation. But don't give me all this kind of information, right? So if you keep reading things like that, it will aid the way you see people outside of the love walk. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Have you found out that there's some things people will go through in their marriage, and the first thing you think about is, could my husband be like this as well? Could my partner be like this as well? Yeah, that's where guarding your heart really comes in. That's where guarding your heart really comes in. And what led me to that conversation is, no matter what a man does, no matter what a woman does, no matter what it is, the social media, you know, Paul will address it to the Corinthians. Those people were an interesting generation. The closest set of congregation that I will have to 2025 congregation of believers are the Corinthians. Paul will say, you have matters amongst believers, that issues amongst believers. Is there no believer that is wise enough to tackle this matter? Are there not believers that you can trust enough to tackle this matter? You take it to social media. Yeah? You take it to social media, right? We have different categories of people. Those that will talk about what people did to them in first person singular, and those that will ask it in third person singular. And peradventure, you have a friend. And I'm not saying it's my friend, but peradventure, you have a friend, right? There are matters that you can address privately. There are matters that you require that's why there's something called arbitration, right? There are matters that people should just come and mediate around it. You can look for a neutral party who is a believer. It will always help. If it's possible, as much as it lives in you or light in you, live peaceably with all men. Now let's go to verse 19 as we begin to wrap up. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. You know, when the Bible says avenge not yourself, it's another way of saying do not revenge or do not recompense evil for evil. So to avenge for yourself means you fight for yourself. Okay? Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. In the salvation series we did, we looked a little around the concept of the wrath of God. Right? And we said the concept of the wrath of God has to do with an inactivity of God in reference to an instruction, for instance, that God will give. So, for instance, if you tell your son, right, or you tell your niece or young child not to climb the table, right, and you say, if you climb the table, you will fall. What have you done? You've notified them that if they climb the table, they will fall. Now, they eventually climb the table and they fall. What has happened? You are not the one that pushed them. They fell based on what you had said. So you can call that the wrath of Joshua. So that's my wrath. So my wrath was not in the fact that I pushed them. It was in the fact that they disobeyed something in reference to what I said. You got the point? Okay, right? So when he says, dear believers, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, right? He now explains for you in context, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So who's supposed to repay people who treat you as evil? God. You see what some people do? When people do things to them, they say, I'll leave you in the hand of God. But pastor has taught us to walk in love. I'll leave you in the hand of God. I hope you are living in the hand of God as the expectation of knowing that God will not repay them evil for evil. Let me tell you something. Don't tell anybody. But if you really want something to happen to someone that does evil to you, don't leave them in the hand of God. How are we together? Yeah? If somebody stole your money, I will get, and you want your money to back, don't leave them in the hand of God. Don't leave them in the hand of God, right? If they are believers as well, look for reasonable, wise believers and tackle it. Or you take the rightful, structure that your government has put in place, right? It's always going to be helpful that way, yeah? Because when you leave matters in the hand of God, it will only, let me show you what God is saying. Don't forget, who are we to follow? God, okay? So what God says? I will repay, says the Lord. You know, I said this yesterday when you see some people, they were preaching in that say, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So they begin to go back to their master plan table and begin to draw all the things they want to use to repay the person that does them evil. No, it is vengeance is his. So is God a God of vengeance? Yes. But you see the unfortunate thing, the vengeance of God is not the vengeance of man. Are we together? The righteousness of God does not walk side by side with the wrath of man. So what you think is vengeance. So when someone does evil to you, your expectation is that they will begin to nosedive in their career from that point. And when you see that happen, even though you didn't cause them or say anything, but you were expecting it to happen, the moment you now see that happen, you now say, that's God fighting my battle. There's a song that we sing, thank you for fighting my battle for me, Jehovah. I don't know the word they say, one word. I don't know what that word means. Yeah, thank you for fighting my battle for me, Jehovah. Oh, you know, and when believers are singing that song and they're dancing, they have people's picture in their mind though. Thank you for fighting my battle for me. And they have pictures, different pictures in their mind. Yeah. Have you not seen believers meetings where believers bring the pictures of other believers and the instruction from the altar says bring a needle alongside and be using needles to choke their face? And you call those, and you see that kind, you need to write a book and say, and you call yourself a Christian. Maybe I'll do a series around that. Yeah. And you carry somebody's picture from Facebook. You go and print it in business center. You don't have a printer in your house. You go to business center, you go and print it. You don't even print it on picture quality paper. You go and print it on A4 paper. Big sheets, even do A3. And the pastor say, all your enemies. Nah. All together, right? The God of vengeance is the God I serve. The God of vengeance. So you see, let me tell you something. David found himself to be better in the hands of God than in the hands of man. In fact, he found himself to be better in the hands of God than in the hands of himself. Nathan the prophet comes in with a prophecy, right, and a parable, and it tells me about a man who is very wicked and stingy. What happens? David says, that man must pay back. He must pay back 200 fold. Blah, 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 blah. That is man. So when David realized he was the one, what did he do? He ran to the one who he knows vengeance is his. And what came out from there? He says, you create in me, you cast me out of the presence of the Lord. You renew this, you renew the right spirit within me, right? Yeah, you renew the joy of salvation. You restore to me the joy of salvation. So David knew that he's, let me tell you, a man is better in the vengeance of God than in the vengeance of man. I was going to say, let me say differently. A man is better in the vengeance of God than in the love of man. Because some people can treat love to other men, and their treatment and expression of love is actually something terrible. Let me give you a quick example to think about it. Yeah, there are some prisons, the way they feed prisoners. They feed prisoners out of love, but guess what they are giving them to eat? Do you get that point right now? Yeah, prisoners are eating a kind of food that ideally the wardens or the people that are, the wardens rather, cannot eat. But they are giving them food out of love, and that's still love. Man is better in the in the hands of the vengeance of God, of the God of vengeance rather. You get the point? So the Bible says, vengeance is he, says the Lord, he will repay. So God loves the business of repaying people. What's the repayment? Look at verse 20. Therefore, amen. Therefore, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. Thank you for fighting my battle for me. Do you know what? This Bible, it says, therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. So what is the vengeance of God? God is the God of vengeance who gives to his enemy food when they are hungry. Praise God forevermore. God is the God of vengeance that when he rises up, all his enemies have food to eat. God is the God of vengeance, right? That his enemies will have food to eat when he rises from the dead. Why? Because his body is the food he gives to his enemy. God is a God of vengeance that quenches the thirst of his enemy. Did you hear that? That's why I ended this teaching with Acts 7 and Acts 8. The feet of the man whom they laid their clothes and their bags to watch over while they stoned Stephen to death is the man we are reading from today, Paul. God met Paul in the midst of wickedness and stretched forth his arm of love as the God of vengeance. Guess what? Paul had something to eat. You know, at this point, you know what you should do? You should actually do it. It's worth it. You should actually take it. You know what I just said? I'm just teaching you Bible. Not teaching the Bible. Yeah? So, you know what God's intention was for the people that persecuted the church in the book of Acts. Bible says it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. Are we together? You see, that's one of the problems. Look at that. We won't look at that in this video. Let me not promise you this one. Yeah? But that's one of the problems that Israel had. God did not want them to have a rulership and a government like the government of this world. But they said they wanted a government like that. All right. So what does God say to you? What does God say to you? Brother Nonso, Brother Temi, Brother Taiwo, Sister Oyi, Brother CJ. What does God say to you, Brother Kposi? What does God say to you, Sister Lola? What does God say to you, Sister Uche? What does God say to you, Sister Vimbai? What does God say to you, Sister Precious? What does God say to you, Joshua Yusuf? What does God say to you? Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. Don't say you will die in that hunger. You cut me off your life, but you forgot I'm the source. Yeah, any river that forgets its source will dry up. Oh, God, madam. Yeah, don't polish the works of the flesh and use phonetics to say it. Anyone who forgets their source, they will dry up. Look at it. Yeah. Mm. Therefore, if your enemy who forgot your source, who forgot their source, if they are hungry, what do you do? So someone does not knock on your door and they've done something terrible to you. And your response to them is, I thought you said you can live life without me. Please go and find your own people that will live life with you. No. Therefore, I'm trying to explain to you what vengeance is to God. Are you following? Yeah? Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, and let me tell you, all of you that I called your name, it's not like I know any story. Before you say I use you now to preach again, there is no story in my mind. In fact, the people I even know story from, I not use their name. Joshua, you are so troublesome. Right? So therefore, if I not use your name, it means I know there is trouble. You get the point? Bless be your soul. Let's assume you don't get the point. Let's assume I'm your enemy right now. It says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. All right. If he is thirsty, what do you do? Give him water. Give him drink. Guess what he says next? He explains the meaning of your action. He says, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You see, when God's fire meets a man who is his enemy, it quenches. You don't forget yesterday. When God arises, enemies, what scatters? The wickedness in the person. So when God's fire, right, meets another, what should he quench? Everything that is not of God. So the parable of saying, so when the Bible says, when you give your enemy food to eat, now, give your enemy food to eat does not mean you go and put $5 billion inside, though, so that when they eat it, they will sleep, you kill them. No, that's not what the Bible is saying, Yeah, you go and spring, I don't even know, it's very interesting. Yeah, in this part of the world, I don't know what they use for killing rats. Now go and buy, from where I come from, there's something called tapiapia. You go and buy a tapiapia and put inside the stew, inject inside the stew, right? And package the food and go and present it on the table, right? And you tell your children, if you eat from that man's plate, if you eat, that is, in fact, that is start. You are doing more than Peter says. Are you here? Praise God forever. So he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire. The doctrine, maybe look at it tomorrow, but the doctrine of coals of fire, heaping coals of fire on their head, is a concept of overwhelming them with love such that their heart changes. Okay? Yeah? Yeah? The concept of heaping coal of fire on the head of another is a concept of forgiveness, love work. How do you know? He told you that the implication of heaping coal of fire means, think about it now, you give somebody food to eat. It's not like, see, when the Bible says give somebody who is your enemy food to eat because they are hungry, it's not like saying you give them food, sote is the Greek word of saying, to the extent that their neck will be full of food, they will now choke and die out of your food. You know, let me tell you, Christians are very interesting. You know, an average Christian has a very, very beautiful expression of doing wickedness to another person. That's not our testimony as a church, amen. Right? Yeah? So it says, if your enemy is hungry, that's why you find it, if you're supposed to find it interesting when you see believers gather together and pray for their enemies to die. All together. Yeah? All together. So it says, therefore, if the enemy be hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. So if your enemy comes, is hungry, you give him food. What are you doing? You're heaping coals of fire on their head. That means you are using love to try and change their hearts. You know, this process is a longer process for people to change with. Yeah. You see those examples I gave you earlier on? Those are the examples of using heaping coal of fire. Like, you minister to people, you love on them so much that they are hungry, they need supernatural, spiritual food, you give it to them. In doing that, you are heaping coals of fire. That's the only thing that can make that kind of narrative to change within a year. For them to be bold enough to say to me, right, that God has used me so mightily in their life, and the only person who has come close or has done something like that is my biological father, who I introduced them to about 7-8 years ago. And that's the practice of heaping coal on them. It's a practice of heaping coal on them. Are we together? Right? You know, sometimes when you heap coal or fire on people's head, sometimes it's required to act in the dark as though you are not speaking about what they did, as though you did not know the details of what they did. Yeah? Let me tell you how I handle things like that sometimes, right? My heaping coal of fire does not come with condition. So it means that in the initial stage of repairing relationships, I don't pay attention to trying to communicate their wrong to them. I don't pay attention. So I've done probably a year plus of every time the Spirit of God says something to me, every time I minister, every time I pray, every time I have them in mind, I pray, every time I do this, yeah, I'm heaping coal of fire on them. Right? A time will come, right? Yeah. One of two things will happen. They might either initiate the conversation, or I will have to initiate the conversation. Why? To help their relationship with other people. Right? Because they could have lost a lot that God has deposited in somebody else for their life. That is what happens a lot of times. Let me tell you, dear saints, you don't always know who God will use for you. Some of us are in the business of cutting people off, and the exact people you are cutting off your lives are the people God has strategically positioned for your future. Be wise. I'll say one more time. The exact people God has positioned for your life are the strategic people who you have strategically tried your best to cut them off. It's not always the case, but a lot of times, why don't you just live a life like a believer? He says, in so doing, you are heaping coal of fire on them. Let's read verse 21 together, wherever you are. 1-3, go. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hereby perceive the love of God, in that he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Overcoming good or evil with good is you laying down your life for the brethren. All together. Yeah? So, what should the believer not have? The believer should not have an enemy. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? If at all the believer has an enemy, what should the believer do to the enemy when they are hungry? Feed them. You get the point? Now, that does not mean that for some of those relationships I've talked about earlier on, they were not guard. What do you call guardrails for my own self and for them as well? Because sometimes you put some guardrails not only for yourself, but also them as well. All together. Yeah? For also them as well. Yeah? Sometimes then, one of the things you can do for yourself is, a guardrail you can put for yourself is, your reason for not viewing people's posts and comments and exchanges and everything is for your own heart. Because if you're not careful, you'll begin to see things that they're not inferring to you, and you will think it's you they are talking about. You get what I just said? What I just said is heavy, right? Someone can do something to you today, and they're doing an innocent post they typed before that event happened. But when the post comes online, you think that they're talking about you. Are we together? Yeah? It's just life. So what do? You can, as much as possible, if you can, guard yourself. Keep your sanity. Keep yourself space. And keeping your heart as well also involves that Don't always assume. Don't assume. Don't assume. Don't assume. Don't assume. Don't assume. Don't now, because Pastor has said Pastor will use people to preach in church and all those kind of things will happen in church. Every time any story seems close to you, let me tell you, there are cases and there are tens into hundreds I have on top of my head I'm handling day in, day out. And I'm not exaggerating. There are cases, people, dynamics. I have different compartments in my head for different people and running into hundreds. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? So you can be in a scenario with somebody and this, your stories are similar. I can choose to pick any of them to give an, the way I've given people example today, it can be anybody. But I'm trying to say to you that let's even assume you think it is you. Guard your heart well enough not to begin to read meanings from there. You know, you know what is worse? When the things that are being said have been said to you directly already. You just see the devil just has a way of just making you just feel very interested. So if someone already tells you that, oh, I don't like the friendship with you. Ah, I saw a post, one of my friends did a post recently. He said, when you get into your 30s, life has a way of just dynamically showing you who your true friends are. Yeah, that's someone talking from experience, but it's not always the case. You get the point? Now, if you now read that kind of story now, maybe somebody else was already fighting you in your house, or people already have issue one of your old time friends. You know, that's how people begin to lose friendship. Yeah, a friend of mine was asking me from Canada a couple of days ago, right? She was asking me that, how do you maintain friendship? How do you, have you had the same friends? Do you keep friends? Yeah, and you can tell, right? I'm very, very social, very, very relatable, but I don't call everybody friend. Are we together? And it's a simple life principle that you should just have. Are we together? Yeah, you need to learn the difference between an acquaintance and a friend. I work together, right? When you do that, a lot of the offenses you are working in will not be a reality. If reality is just an acquaintance, you happen to have gone through the same school, right? So the lady was asking me, how do you handle these matters like this? She was now giving me some real life experiences of some of the matters that were happening and all of those things that were happening within their friendship and all kind of thing. And I just tried to counsel her and I said, you know what? See, this is that you do. This is that. And I won't go into all of those details. But you see, your heart is the most important thing. Never at a time justify that you're overcoming evil with evil is godly. I'll say one more time. Never at a time in your life you justify that you're overcoming evil with evil is godly. The Bible says, be not overcome with evil, right? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful evening, and I hope and trust you've been instructed by this. Tomorrow is Thursday. We continue again, same time, same station, YouTube, 7 p.m. UK time, 8 p.m. Nigerian time. I'm trusting God's spirit that will bring some much more clarity to some of the things we've said today over the next few days. And also trusting that the things we've said over the past few days into hours has ministered directly to you. I'm going to have a question and answer session on Sunday. Write your questions now. Write them down just so that we can see how we can tackle them on Sunday. Love you also dearly. Cheers. Good night.